Mabel Louise Stewart is here in the house. Hello.
Hey, good morning. And you know what? I'm always glad to be here with you, Pat.
Thank you.
And it's a beautiful day outside.
It
and
is.
What a privilege to be with you today. You know, how about letting me ride along in your car? Or maybe you're in the kitchen doing the dishes. Can I be there with you too? Okay. Oh, maybe I can ride along in that great big truck, that 18-wheeler. How about that? In any event, I'm so glad that I can be with you. And you know what? All of us who live in the northern plains of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Dakotas, yes, we've been experiencing snow, and more snow. You should see my yard. Yep, it's like yours, full of snow. That is, those of you who live in the area. And when this happens, guess what? The children insist, and I like it, to remain at home and not drive in snow and ice and sleet. So my coworker, Pat, takes over and he inserts a broadcast from one of my tapes. And that's such a help and blessing, and I hope it's still a blessing for you, because you can always count on me giving you the Word of God. And that is awesome. And all, let me add even more, it's precious. And so before the snow came, I was in the midst of a series of time statements found in the Bible. Have you ever wondered about the history of time? When did they start the months and the years and our regular calendar? Well, I have just a quickie that I can give you that I got from the Zondervan Topical Bible. It says, in the early biblical period, time was marked by sunrise and sunset, by the phases of the moon and location of a few constellations. But there were no names for days and months, excuse me, and no accurate knowledge of years. Ancient people had no method of keeping track of long periods of time because they dated from great well-known events. Actually, the starting point in the Maccabean Age was the beginning of the Seleucid era. And then the Hebrew month began with the new moon. Months were divided by the Jews into weeks of 7 days, ending with the Sabbath. The Roman day began at midnight and had 12 hours. And the Hebrew day began with sunset. Night was divided into watches. And I'm sure you're acquainted with the scriptures where it talks about watches. At first, the Hebrews had three watches, but in the time of Christ, there were four. Various kinds of clocks were used, like sundials, shadow clocks, and water clocks. Now, there's a little brief to inform us of what time was like in the beginning days. And so today, I want to proceed with one of my time, high time I talked about, acceptable time. I visited with you about that, fullness of time. And now today, I want to talk about a time to die. And I had covered all of those already, except a time to die. So I decided right away to proceed and use this title for my message today. I prayed about it and I felt led of the Lord in light of all the recent shootings, the rapes, the snow-covered car accidents, and the many, many deaths. So I thought this statement, time to die, was timely. So before I begin my message, let me give you a wonderful verse to encourage you today. It's found over in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Paul said, "I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Many people say, "I won't accept Christ now, but I will do it some other time." Well, Paul and Mabel Louise is urging you to do it today. Don't put it off. So let me just remind you that when you see that word "behold" in the scripture, it means, "May I have your attention, please?" Or maybe I should put it this way, "Listen up." Yes, it's urgent. I have something to say that is urgent. Remember, we have no promise of tomorrow. Not one of those people who were killed in those school shootings, the office shootings, the mall shootings, and wherever, they never thought that they would not go home to see their family again. So it pays to be prepared. And that's what I want to talk about today. Today's broadcast is going to be using Ecclesiastes 3:1 is our text, and it begins like this: "To everything there is a season. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die." That's where I got my statement for today's message. "A time to plant, a time to pluck up which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." Wish I had time to go through each one of those, maybe in another message. But of all of these times, yes, I chose a time to die. You've heard the statement, and maybe you've even said it. There's one thing for sure that we all face, and that is a time to die and a time to pay taxes. Well, the truth of the book of Ecclesiastes is that all of this is vanity, and it passes away like a puff of wind. Life really, folks, without God has no real meaning. Life with the Lord, yes, it can be filled with hope and happiness. The reality is that we all have to face death someday. And the question is, are we ready to meet the Lord? Every one of us, each one of us, is a heartbeat away from dying. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? And it should cause each of us to stop and examine our lives and ask ourselves the question, am I a part of God's family? Am I prepared for eternity? Where will I spend eternity? So in light of these questions, I'd like to go to Luke 23, verses 32 through 43. Let me talk about the thief on the cross. The thief was condemned to die and was just hours away from death. But before his last breath, something wonderful happened. He was rescued by Jesus right in front of the mocking crowd. Just think, that thief's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all the angels in heaven rejoiced because Jesus promised him a place in paradise in the very presence of God. Imagine. Yes, there were three crosses at Calvary. One robber died in his sin. Another man, the Son of Man, named Jesus, died to pay the penalty for sin. And the third, also a thief, was redeemed from sin. One in sin, one paid the penalty for sin, and the other redeemed from sin. Just think. That thief's sin was paid in full, and he instantly became a part of the Lord's big family. Perhaps you're saying, oh, Mabel Louise, how do you know he's in heaven today? Well, let me give you three things that back up that he is truly there. And of course, Jesus said he would be, and whatever Jesus said in my book, that's it. But let's think about it for a minute. There was a complete change in that thief's behavior. At first, both thieves threw insults. Actually, the scripture says that they were cursing against Jesus. And then, as the thief watched Jesus, he had a change of heart. So the second robber chastised the first man for his critical words against Jesus. The other, answering, said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation?" And then I thought about this. The admission of guilt was certainly a clue that backed up his entrance into heaven, because repentance is certainly part of the salvation experience. So the robber acknowledged that he was justly punished for his wickedness, and we indeed justly, he said. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, meaning Jesus, has done nothing wrong. So we can say he repented of his sin, which is part of the salvation experience. And then he expressed his faith in the Lord. It's so beautiful. The robber called Jesus by name, and acknowledged that he was king with a kingdom. He called him Lord. And he also believed there was life after death. And he asked Jesus to rescue him. Verse 42 said, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Well, only a king has a kingdom, right? And he called him Lord. Wow. There's the clue, isn't it? And then I thought about the fact that Jesus promised the thief. For he said in verse 43 of Luke 23, he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The thief on the cross knew when his death would occur, but we cannot predict our own death. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit gave us this report in the scriptures, because it's proof that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. You see, the thief on the cross believed that Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he trusted him to save him. Well, the truth is that if we receive Jesus as our Savior, our penalty for sin is paid in full. Aren't you glad? And guess what? On top of that, the icing on the cake is we are adopted into God's family, and heaven is our eternal home. But if we reject Jesus, we remain alienated from the Lord and under condemnation for our sins. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So as I close, perhaps today is the right time for you to stop putting off your decision, and all you need to do is to bow your head and say, "Lord, I've sinned against you. I've gone my own way, and today I want to give you my life. I do believe today that Jesus is the Son of God. I do accept the truth of the Scriptures, and I want to trust Jesus today." So, just like the thief on the cross, Jesus would say to you, "You have received salvation, and you too have eternal life." Aren't you glad that Jesus welcomes every person who comes to him through Jesus, his Son, regardless of background or age or any situation? Through Jesus, the right to enter paradise is all of ours. Let me just close by saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.